Have you been learning the last few weeks that every person is born with a certain kind of a chisaron, with a certain kind of a deficiency, and and it's the aside from all Torah mitzvahs which we learned last week from the pasuk, where the Ishbitzah explains in the pasuk, "Kesiirim alei desher, chavivim alei esev," that there's a certain kind of a storm, a rainstorm, that falls upon the field. And that's referring to all Jewish people being responsible for all Torah mitzvahs. Obviously, Kohanim and Levim and so on have special mitzvahs, but all Jewish people are responsible for all mitzvahs. Therefore, we saw from the Ishbitzah, because Seirim alei desher means like the storm upon the field. A desher means a field. But then each individual person has a specific inyan, something specific that he or she was sent into the world specifically to deal with, to correct. And that's referred to in the second part of that pasuk, u'chirvivim alei esev, and like raindrops, like a drop of rain upon a blade of grass. So each individual blade of grass has a particular drop of rain, which the Ishbitzah says is that Dvar Torah, that inyan, that area of Torah, be it in learning, in observing a certain mitzvah, it could be in saying Tehillim, whatever it may be, where the person is drawn to in a strong way, and as we've seen in earlier weeks, usually something that a person has to struggle with also. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu draws our attention to that unique, particular, that particular thing which we were, that Dvar Torah, that inyan which each one of us has to correct in our lives in order to find that final tikkun. So we saw that this process of clarification, of discovering what is it specifically that the Baruch Shalom wants of me. What does he want of me specifically, aside from all Torah mitzvahs to the best of my ability, what specific thing is it that he asks of me? And every Jewish person has something specific, bifnei atzmo, like that blade of grass waiting for a drop of rain, in which he will find his Yeshua. Well, that person will find redemption. And we spoke about that the Rebbe, the Ishbitzah, says that this Dvar Torah, this inyan, is something that we should struggle particularly to find while we're young. Because as we get older, it becomes more difficult to find it. It becomes more difficult to understand what is it specifically that's being asked of us. So, we're continuing now today. I think we'll just have time to learn this one piece. This is one of the most remarkable pieces in the Me'ah Shiloach. I think we'll spend maybe another week or two on there's so much to do, we could do this for years, at the whole Me'ah Shiloach. But I'd like to get a little bit to speak about the life of his son. We'll spend some time talking about the Beis Yaakov, his son, Rabbi Yankel Ishbitzah, and then we'll learn some Torahs, and then the grandson, the Rebbe of Gershon Hanach, and some of his Torahs. So this piece here in Kedoshim, Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro, which is speaking about the mitzvah of honoring and of actually revering our parents, of fearing our parents, and keeping Shabbos. So the Ishbitzah uses this pasuk as a way to teach us, to clarify, to be mevarer our maisim. And I explained to you, we've studied in the past, that in order to discover that specific thing that you have to do in this world, that you have to perfect in the world, you have to learn how to clarify, to be mevarer all the things that you do, to be able to sort of refine and to come to the point of your perfection. Now, what this piece is, to understand what that means, what clarification means, this piece in Parashat Kedoshim is remarkable. Just in terms of learning Chumash, it's Kedai. It's worthwhile. So look inside over there. I wrote page 2 on top, so we're going to do page 2 and 3. It says in the pasuk, Ish imo v'aviv tiro v'shabso sai tishmaru. So everybody's familiar with the pasuk that it says that a person should fear his mother, his father, and to observe the Shabbos. and to guard the Shabbos. So of course, everybody knows that there's a problem in understanding the order of the pasuk here, because in the Aseres Adibros, in the Ten Commandments, the order is Kabed es avicha vesimecha. The honor is, when it comes to the mitzvah of honoring, so the Torah tells us first, Kabed es avicha, your father, and your mother, and then afterwards, the Aseres Adibros is Zachos Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshay, and afterwards is Shabbos. And here is mamash reversed. Whereas in the Ten Commandments, in the Aseres Adibros, it's father, mother, Shabbos. So here, we see that Shabbos, father, mother. Over here, the order is mother, father, and Shabbos. It's mamish reversed. Right? In the Aseres Adibros, first comes Shabbos, and then comes Kabed es avicha v'esimecha. And over here it's mother, father, and Shabbos, say Tishmo and Shabbos. So it's mamish the opposite. It's the hepech. So the Rebbe writes, Hinei b'parasha hazois maschil tchilo b'kibud ein, v'charkach b'kibud av, v'charkach shmir Shabbos. That in this parasha, it begins with the mitzvah of how to deal with one's mother, and then a father, and then Shabbos. U'b'aseres adibros, whereas in the Aseres adibros maschil b'shmir Shabbos, there it begins with the mitzvah of Shabbos, zochas yom Shabbos, v'charkach kibud av, and then honoring the father, v'charkach kibud ein, honoring the mother. Right? The drosh of Chazal is very well known that Rashi brings down as far as the difference between fearing and honoring. But that's not the mahalach here. And that doesn't get to the omek ha-pshat, to the depth of the pshat. V'hinei mevu'a b'zara kodesh, we're taught in the Zohar ki yesh tlas nekudin la'araisa, that there are 3 points in Torah. Now what does that mean? 3 points of Torah. Tlas nekudin la'araisa. Hu shebechol inyonim sheha'adam oise shemegiyah lo hainah mehem. And anything that a person does in this world, where the person derives some benefit, some pleasure, anything you do in the world that gives you some hanah, that you enjoy, tzarech lachshuv drocha v'levayer b'shloisha birurim shlo yimotzei b'maisi hazeh shum netiyim eretzayin Hashem Yisbarach. The Torah wants us to enjoy this world. The Torah doesn't want us to run away from the world. Befrat, as it's known that this is the Derech HaBal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his students, that the world is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to enjoy. This is the Derech of Torah also, and Sias Sharm also says that. This is the way of the Torah, to enjoy the world. So there are certain hanos, there are certain types of enjoyment. So we talk about an Einik Shabbos, to eat on Shabbos. There are certain types of pleasure and enjoyment that seem clearly not only permissible, but are even a mitzvah, to eat Erev Yom Kippur, and so on. But there are many hanos in the world, even how much you're eating and what you're eating. There are different hanos in the world, there are different types of pleasure in the world, where it's not clear whether or not this is entirely right or proper for you at this time. And this is something that we've discussed in the past, Bechlal, and we're learning a little bit in Tanya, in the first parak, to understand, is there such a thing as an area of Rishus? Do we say that everything in the world, everything in Yiddishkeit is a commandment, it's a mitzvah, or it's a prohibition? What about things in between? What about things in between? Is there any area in between? So this area, which seems to be in between, which consists of hanos, pleasures that we have in our lives, so one has to make sure that pleasure is something which is the Ratzon Hashem. It's not only something that you want to do, it's not only something that you enjoy doing, but it's also something that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. So how does one know whether or not this, what appears to be optional thing, how does one know whether this is something which is al pi ratzon Hashem, whether this is something which is according to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? because he says that one has to be very careful of arba shloshi birum shelo yimotzi b'maisa hazeh shum netiim ritzan Hashem isbarach. In other words, it's clear that there's nothing in the world that we're allowed to do that is opposed to God's will. And there's nothing in the world that Hashem doesn't care about. Like we like to think, for instance, you know, to shoot a couple of hoops, right? To play basketball. So we think, all right, it's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. It's an aveira? Why is it an aveira? So it must be that God doesn't pay attention. It must be. It must be like, is that, it can't be such a thing. There is nothing in the world that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about. So something is either, in the words of the Bedit Shiver, something is either a Seir LaHashem, or Chalila, it's a Seir LaZozel. Either it's for the Rebbein Shalom, either on you're with a good team, or you're Chalila with a team that's not good. So then how do I know? So something like playing ball. It's a Poshit thing. Something like that. Something that's Poshit. And I'm doing for a Hana, and I'm having some pleasure from it. I have to listen to a song, whatever it may be. But it's a Hana that I want. So how am I Mevara? How do I clarify whether or not this is something which is Al-Pi Ratzon Hashem? Because it can't be that the Rebbein Shalom is not interested. So how do I know whether it's Al-Pi Ratzon Hashem? So the Ishbetzer says there are three ways of Birur. There are three ways of clarification. And every single thing in life must be clarified on these three levels. And this piece of Torah here is very practical. Everything that we do, mamish, every single thing we do, has to be clarified on these three levels. And only once it has clearance on all three levels, once it's passed the security check of these three levels that the Rebbe is going to present us, only then can you be simcha ubi ahava with joy and with love and devotion perform this personally enjoyable thing with the fervor of a mitzvah. Because that's how everything in the world should be done, with simcha. If it's a mitzvah, if it's the Ratzon Hashem. So how, what are the three things? So he says, shum netiya, there shouldn't be anything but such af neged get a dimi divrei sof, even if it's against something that's the Rabbanan. If something is against the Chacham, if something is against what the Rabbanan, what the Chacham, the sages taught us, it's also not God's will. So it's not enough that something be symmetrical with the Ratzon of Hashem as expressed on a Daraisa level, on a Torah level, even on the Rabbanan. Anything that the Chacham told us to do, you know, there's a machlokas rishon, there's a disagreement between the Shonim, but it could be that every derais is connected, it's really a drabon, every drabon is really a derais, it could be that every rabbinic iser is, its source is another derais, it's Ramban and Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs. It could be, because the Torah itself commanded that we have to listen to the Chacham. Right? How do we say, Asher Kedishom Tzavetzavon Tzivon Lahadlik Ner Chanukah? Who commanded us to light Ner Chanukah? So Rashi talks about in the Gemara and Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to listen to the sages who told us to light Hanukkah candles. So every time you listen to the sages, you're listening to the Rebbein Shlomo. And any time you don't listen to the Chacham, you're turning away from the Rebbein Shlomo. So what are the three types of Birurim? How do we get clearance for every act? What are the three levels of clarification? One. She says the first is called Zanikra Shmira Shabbos. Ki Shabbos hi Shem Hashem kimavur b'zayra kodesh. My Shabbos Shem et dekutcher brichu. He says the first level of birur, of clarification, the first thing you have to clarify is whether or not this is something which is on a very posh, on a simple level, is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do or not? Is this the Ratzon Hashem or not? This is called Shabbos. Why is this called Shabbos? So he says that Shabbos, the Zohar says, is Shema Dekutcha Brichu. You know, you're not supposed to say Shabbos in the mikveh. You're not supposed to say the word Shabbos in the bathroom. Because Shabbos, Chazal say, is one of the names of Hashem. Shema Dekutcha Brichu. You can't say Shabbos in the bathroom. This is the good Shabbos is in the mikveh, right? You can't say good Shabbos in the mikveh. So Shabbos is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? Umagam ki b'Shabbos nika kiloye ose shum davar bepu'ulas adam. What does that mean? What does it mean that Shabbos is the first level of Birur? In other words, you have to ask yourself on a very basic level. this thing that I want to do has, first of all, you have to clarify halakhically. On a very simple level, it might be talking to a Rav, talking to a Poseg. Is this Maisa that I'm doing Shabbos Dik, or is it not Shabbos Dik? Now what does that mean? I'm not talking about something that's Dafka on Shabbos. So the Ishbetz says over here, why is it that Shabbos is called in the Zohar the name of Hashem? Why is it Shabbos is one of the names? Why is one of the names of Hashem Shabbos? That sounds odd. There are people that have names, Shabsi. It's also named Shabbos, right? So it's odd. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a name Shabbos? So the Ishbetz says, because Shabbos, there are no pulos mitzad ha'adam. Shabbos belongs completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All human activity, all human creativity, all human input into the Hanhaga Sabriya, into this world, are suspended on Shabbos. Shabbos is Ko Malach Techa Asuya. Chazal say, Ko Malach Techa Asuya means, comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, everything has to be already done. On Shabbos, a Jewish person pulls his hands away from the Bria. Right? You pull your hands out of creation. The meaning of Shabbos is Sheva Al Ta'aseh. Shabbos is Sheva Al Ta'aseh. Not to be involved in the Pa'ulos HaBriya. Therefore, the Ishbetz explains when the Zohar Kodesh says that the Shabbos is Shema Dekutra Brichu, that Shabbos is the name of Hashem, it means that the most important primary level of clarification, all that we do, is to ask, is this action that I'm about to take, does this action correspond with the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world? Or am I doing an action that is conflicting with the Ratzon Hashem? The reason that's called Shabbos is because Shabbos clearly, we relinquish any desire to do anything in opposition to God's will. Shabbos, we don't do anything in opposition to God's will. Melachas, I mean, you can still, God forbid, say Lashon Hara or something. The person can be Mechal Shabbos too. But on Shabbos, ideally, we understand Shabbos means that we are relinquishing our chelik in human activity, our portion in creativity. Nemela, everything on Shabbos is synchronized with the Rebbein Shalom. So the first question is, now this again, the question in halacha, to understand, to ask a rabbi, to ask a rav, to ask a shayla. This thing that I want to do, is it Shabbos Dik? In other words, does this reflect the will of Hashem? Or God forbid, is it opposed to the will of Hashem? The second, v'gam tzorach levara neged kla Yisrael. The second level of birur is, right? So the first level is I try not to let anything happen in my life that Hashem wouldn't want. Just like on Shabbos, we let nothing happen on our own. We wait to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The second, v'gam tzorach levara neged kla Yisrael shali yigilahem shum ra mizeh ha'maisa. Now sometimes you could have a personal hana, you could enjoy something, you have a pleasure, but it might be affecting another Jew. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not against this thing. There's a saying from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta that when you come out from the mikveh, be careful not to grab somebody else's towel. It's a simple saying from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, which means that sometimes a person is all farbrent, wants to do a mitzvah, and the mitzvah you're doing on somebody else's cheshbon. So you go to the mikveh, it's a nice thing, you go to the mikveh in Erev Shabbos, it's nice to go to the mikveh, and you grab another Jew's towel. It never happened to the mikveh, you get back a wet towel? It's one of the most upsetting things that can happen, no? You get a wet towel, you bring a towel and it comes back wet. So that means Rabbi Yisrael Salanta was saying, listen, the person wants to do a mitzvah, so you say to yourself, look, there's clearly the Ratzon Hashem. Clearly Hashem wants, and that was, I passed it through the first level of clearance. The first clearance is, is this specific act something that God wants of me? So the answer is, going to a mikveh, Erev Shabbos? Sure. What could be bad? There are a thousand things in the Svarim about it. Wonderful. It could be even learning Torah. You want to know, should I learn Torah right now? The answer is, in the act of learning Torah, is that something which is good? Is that the Ratzon Hashem? Fine. Nevertheless, the second level of beer is to be mevayer, is this something that could hurt another Jew? Is this something that could affect a Jew and another person from Klal Yisrael in a negative way? You have to be careful, he says, Shliyigil ham shum ra mizah ma'isa v'zeh nikra kibud av. It's a mistake in the print. It should be kibud av. This is called honoring the father. Now why is a person being careful not to hurt another Jew called honoring one's father? Why is that called kibud av? Listen to this. Ki ha'av moira de'a libno. The main concern of the father is to tell his child what is right. V'lo yeshgiach al das ha-ben, sh'yira b'ini ha-ben, sh'ois le'ra b'meshiach v'icher le'lech b'derech toiv. The father's main concern is not that this instruction that he's given the child appeals to the child. It doesn't have to be something that the father's main concern is not whether the kid likes it. You like it, you don't like it. That's not something that he says. That's what he's explaining. Yishgiach al das aben sheyirah b'ni aben sheoyseli rab b'meshiach v'icher leilach b'derech toiv v'nei sheyoven ha'av ki ba'achris yutav loy b'zer. The main concern of the father is that ba'achris. The main concern of the father is that in the end it'll be good for the child. Right now the child is saying, I don't want to do this. So the father says, listen, I'm not gonna have a whole 5 hour schmooze with you about this. I told you something you understand, you don't understand. This is what you have to do, regardless of how it might hurt you. Because the father's concern is the tachlis, the end. The father is not concerned, primarily concerned with the tzar, with the suffering, with the anguish of the child this moment. Because the father is gazing upon the omek, the depth of this specific act, that ultimately something good will come from it. So why is it therefore, why is being careful not to hurt another person called kibud av? It means that you have to be mevarer, you have to clarify whether or not this specific act that I'm going to do, that it seems to be the Ratzon Hashem, it doesn't seem to be against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, whether or not this causes tzar for somebody else. In other words, it might be good for you. It might be something that you enjoy. It might be even something that seems to be, normally it would be the Ratzon Hashem. But the father is not mistakel al tzar ha-ben. The father is not gazing upon the suffering of the child this moment. He's thinking upon the final end. So kibud av, honoring the father, being careful with this mid of the father, means to watch out, to be careful, that even though the final tachlis could be good, the final tachlis might be good, but you might be hurting somebody else, right? And you have to be careful that even though the final tachlis is good, there could come out of takola, something damaging to someone else. But to understand this more, we have to read the next thing, what he says about kibud aim. V'gam tzorach levara neged atzmo, shegam ha'odom ha'oysa lo yagir ra b'shum tzad mizeh ha'maisa. See, what does it mean kibud aim? The mother, of course, also wants that the child, that it should come out, the tachlis should be good. The mother also wants that in the end it should be good. The difference between the father and the mother, traditionally, what the Ishbitz is talking about, the difference between the father and the mother is that the father can be soivel, the father can tolerate the child, somebody else suffering this moment, meaning the child, if self called self, it comes out to be all right, even though right now they're suffering. But with the mother, it's a different parasha. The mother, what's kibud aim? So he says, "Zen nikra kibud aim. Ki ha'aim chafetza shagam be'esa she'tilmad livna leilach b'derech toiv lo yiyah behecher chvak tivak sheyu mishadlosay b'dvar mechdei shagam neged das ha'ben lo yeroe k'oysel ra." See, with the father, the son feels something is wrong that's happening to me. I'm being hurt. In other words, there are sometimes that we're doing things that appear to be God's will, but they're hurting other Jews. And we have to be mavara whether there's something which is acceptable. Kibud av. Kibud aim is the third biru. Kibud aim means that you have to ask yourself whether this is hurting you, yourself. What does that mean? The mother, even though she cares about the tachlis, she's not prepared, the mother, that the child should suffer now so that the final tachlis should come out okay. She's going to try, that's what the Ishvitzer says, when she teaches the sons to go on the right path, lo she's not going to force the child. That's why we usually, it's not right, we very often don't listen to our mother. Because the mothers say, please. I always say to my wife, what are you saying, please? Tell them to do it. Every time my wife is telling, it's time to go to bed, so my wife says, children, could you please go to bed? And whenever I hear this, I say, what is it, please? By schluffen. Okay, what is it, a request? It's an order. The way of the mother is to be mishtadl bedvarim, to try that the child should understand that it's good for him. See, the father's tachlis is, it doesn't have to be good for you. You don't have to understand it's good for you. It'll be good for you. Zayin good. At some point in the future, right now, you could suffer from it. So sometimes when we're doing things, whether or not it might hurt another person, we say, all right, what's the difference if it hurts the other person? Self-kosof will be all right. It's okay. Kibud av. Kibud aim, honoring the mother, means honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire that you don't even hurt yourself. Let's give a marshal. In other words, because the mother doesn't want you to do something that's going to hurt you. She wants you to understand that you should be makabel. That's why it says in the puzzle, the Ishvitz explains in another place, Shma b'ni musar avicha v'al titash taris imecha. Listen, my son, to the rebuke, Shma b'ni musar avicha, to the musar, the rebuke of your father, v'al titash taris imecha, and don't neglect the teachings of your mother. So the Ishvitz explains that the meaning of that, he says a very deep thing. Shma b'ni musar avicha, the father comes and tells you, you have to do this. Because in the end, it's going to be good for you. It's important to know. But v'al titash taris imecha means, don't forget the Torah of the mother. The Torah of the mother means to try to make it good for another Jew right now. In other words, it's not enough. It's not enough to tell a person that what I'm doing to you, it might hurt you right now, but ultimately it's going to help you. It's not enough. The tachlis of our avoid is to try that even now it should be good. As much as possible. That's called kibud aim. That's called teres imecha. Shma b'ni musar avicha. But al titash teres imecha. Al titash teres imecha means that the Baruch Shalom does not want us to do things that are going to hurt us in the present tense either. Ourselves. The Torah is drachel darchei noam. The way of the Torah is pleasant. That doesn't mean that, for me to get a minyan hurts me. I can't do it. It's ridiculous. But if a person has to, again, speak to tzaddikim, speak to his or her teachers, rebbeim, to understand whether it could be sometimes I want to do something right now. I want to take upon myself something right now that's not on the level that I really am holding. It's not really who I am, and I'm going to take this upon myself now, and it's going to hurt me now. And even though my cheshbon is that the tachlis should come out good, I have forgotten the Torah of the mother. And the Torah of the mother is to be mishtadl that something should be, that a Jew should be able to mekabel something in a good way. Even with yourself. That's what he says. U'mishadlosu b'dvarim b'chdei shegam neged das ha-ben lo yere'e k'oysa lo yera. That even the eyes of the child himself, it shouldn't be something which is bad. Even to oneself, it should be good. That's why we were warned in these three ways. In the Aseret Dibros, the order is, Vehem Shmiras Shabbos. The first thing is, first begin right away, start thinking. Think right away. Is this something which is permitted according to the Torah? Is this halachically valid? Is this Shabbistic? Is this the Ratzon Hashem? Plain and partial. Is this God's will? Shabbos. That's number one. Then comes Kibud of Vehem. That means what? So then I have to ask myself, kibud av. In other words, kibud av over here means, now I have to ask myself, In the long run, is this something that's going to hurt somebody? Is this something that's going to affect somebody in a negative way? So the father will say, listen, my main thing is a happy masak in the end, even though right now it might hurt someone. So one has to be mavara this, whether or not you're engaging in an action that could cause harm to somebody. Because the father's concern is not the harm that he caused the child right now. And you have to be concerned that you shouldn't cause harm to a Jew right now. And kibur aim means you have to mavara whether this is something that I could deal with myself right now. Because the mother cares about the child herself. The mother cares that you should be okay now in the present tense.
This
is something which is at all times. Sometimes when a person eats, you ever have a mice like this? It sounds strange. Sometimes a person is completely full. You were just by the smorgasbord, and you stuffed yourself by the smorgasbord, and you see yourself sitting down by the meal an hour later, and there you are again. You're going at it again. If this would be in the house, you'd already be throwing up. But if you belt a chasna and you starve yourself the whole day, so you come to the chasna and you eat smorgasbord 20 things, then you wait at 45 minutes and you have a suda k'shlema hamelech b'shaita, and you have a meal like shlema hamelech. Why? So you know what? Because it tastes good. Are you feeling sick? It makes you sick. You can't eat it, but the taste is good. So the Rebbe says, he says, because sometimes the way of a person is, look, I don't care what's going to come out of this. Right now I'm enjoying it. This is good. Therefore it says in the pasuk, echol dvash harbois leitov, to eat too much honey is not good. When you're eating the honey, it's definitely good. That's delicious. A person has to think to the achris, the end. This is, in other words, the Indian of kibud av, right? You have to think to the achris. Shagam l'shar evarv l'yigir shum hezik. A person might say, look, my mouth is enjoying the honey, so what's the difference what it does to my stomach? My mouth is having a good time. That's a shtus. It's a craziness that a person would say, my mouth enjoys this, what's the difference what happens to my stomach? Any human being who only pays attention to the present tense that I should enjoy right now, that's the lowest way of life. That's the lowest form of life. V'nimtza Adam, ha'yoyser galdu b'das, the greater intelligence, the greater das a person has, shelo yeshgiach rach l'toyev zacheich, is a person who does not only pay attention to the taste. Ella rak, means rak over here means ella. However, yistakel sheyutav loy lecholivar v'chol yimeichayev. The intelligent person is careful that this is something that should benefit the rest of my body for the rest of my life. This das is more honorable than the first. Achlatachlis Ashlemus Gamze Adon means Adayin Loba. This is still not the Tachlis. Kiya Adam Sarch Lashgirch La Shemisburg, Ki Etzlo Yisburg, Nimsa Oymek Amoik Yoisem Mikol Chayilam Hazah. A person has to think even on a deeper level. You understand, we're going in the reverse order. In other words, when I'm enjoying my taste right now, I'm eating something I enjoyed this second. What's that called? Mother, father, Hashem. What's that called? A Shabbos. What's that called? I'm enjoying it right now. It's called mother. Right now, mommy worries most right now that the child should be happy. So when I'm enjoying the food right now, that means that's delicious. That means it's a madrega of kibud ein. I mean, I'm enjoying the taste right now. It's good. There's a good taste right now. Fine. The father, keep it off, means, I think, hold it one second. It might be that my mouth, I am enjoying this, but how's this going to affect my stomach and everything else? In the end, it might have a negative result, and in the end, it's going to come back and affect my mouth. So I have to be careful. That's the warning of the father. The father says, listen, even though it tastes good right now, Don't think about right now. Think about the future. But then there's the third Madrega. The third Madrega is Shabbos is Hashem, which means it's the highest level of Das, where a person says, even though this is something that tastes good in my mouth, mommy, and even though this is something that's going to be fine for the rest of my body, that's daddy. So mommy and daddy are happy. But you still have to ask yourself, what about Noilam Haba? There's an end that's after this end. That's the Baruch Shalom, whose tachlis is the tachlis of all tachlis, is beyond the Father. Mikol chai olam hazeki, Hashem is berachai v'kai ma'olam v'ad olam. L'chein das ha'odam ha'sholem b'kol, who is the person whose das, whose intelligence is complete, is perfect? Yeshgich b'chol in yonev sheyutav lo'y la'ol me'ad. He will be careful that all that he does is will be something that will be good for him, not just how it tastes now, not just how it's going to affect me in my life, but how is it going to affect me lo'ol me'ad. That's the biur. So whereas when we first start to learn, it sounds like the easiest beer is, well, does Hashem want this? I just checked the Shulchan Aruch, I asked my Rebbe. And then it sounds like the second level would be, okay, how's this going to affect other people, the other limbs, so to speak, right? Other Jews, how's it going to affect? Okay, I could ask, is this going to affect anybody else? Is it going to hurt anybody else? And then the third level seems to be the most complicated. Well, how is this going to be for me personally? Now the Rebbe's turning it around, and the Rebbe says, listen, the most basic concern, question that a person asks himself is the mother's question. How do I like this honey right now? How do I like the taste of this? And we're talking from the perspective of the Yetzirah, right? Then the second level is, you ask yourself, no, even though I like the taste, but how's the rest going to like? The rest of my body, which means the rest of Klal Yisrael, right? Going to like this taste. And then the third question is, and what about the Baruch Shalom La'ol Me'ad, forever and ever? It's the same thing with the Jewish people all together. Because all of the Jewish people like one body. If a Jewish person wants to do a maaseh to have enjoyment, you have to ask yourself these, you have to clarify in these three ways. It has to pass by these security checks. If the concern is just that it should be good for myself, but your concern is not what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, and it might come out something bad, even though this itself looks like it's a good thing, it tastes good to you right now, and it might be even something that looks good, it might be something you think is good for Hashem right now. What is this talking about? One of the things that the Kohen Gadol used to pray for on Yom Kippur when he went all the way in was he used to ask Hashem, please don't listen to the prayers of the people who are walking along the roads, the merchants, because they're davening that there shouldn't be rain. Why? They don't want rain because they can't go walking through the country, they can't go selling their things if the roads are muddy. So the wayfarers are davening that there shouldn't be rain. So that's crazy. We desperately need rain. So the Kohen Gadol would say, Baruch Shalom, don't listen to those people who are davening that it should be a dry season. What does that mean? It means, the Ishmael is saying that there's such a thing as a Jew who puts his head against the wall and davens in Shemoneh Esrei, and he's crying his heart out that there shouldn't be rain. For him, that's gewaldig. Because then he'll be able to walk up and down, and he'll be able to go anywhere and sell his things. But it comes a hezek to Klal Yisrael. It damages another organ of the body. And if another organ of the body is damaged, then ultimately if the Jewish people are suffering, the suffering is going to come back to you. Ultimately it's going to come back to you. As gam lo yegia hezek b'toch Klal Yisrael, because you're a member of Klal Yisrael. A person who eats too much honey, it's going to affect eventually your taste also, your mouth. So sometimes something seems to be good for you, and it seems to be good for Klal Yisrael, but it's still possible that it should be keneged Ratzon Hashem.
ubeim hu gam b'ritzon Hashem isbarach. Now, if this is also according to the Ratzon Hashem, as yuchol lasos masha libo chafetz. In other words, let's give a simple example of something that might be good for you, and it might be good for Jews, but it might be bad for the Kadosh Baruch Hu's business. I'll give a simple example. Let's just make up an example. It's on the spot. That giving charity to an organization that's not worthy of receiving it. Let's just say to a Jewish organization that's not worthy of receiving it. So as far as you're concerned, it's not tzaddik. I mean, you gave your money to somebody else, and the other one's in need. He says he's in need. So you're mavara that, as far as you're concerned, tastes great. As far as other Jews are concerned, they're honoring you at the dinner. We love you. Tastes great for other Jews too. They love you. Everybody's happy. Klai Yisrael's happy. Then the Baruch Shalom looks down and says, I don't want this institution to be supported with your $5,000. I wanted the $5,000. You should have had more seichel, more cup. Who needs it more right now? There is such a thing in the world. To be mavara the Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach. For everybody it's good, but maybe it's not the Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, and it's hard to know. But he says, if you go through these three levels, and again, there's something obviously you have to talk to tzaddikim about, to be mevarer. If you go through all three levels, then az yuchal lasos masha libo chafetz, then you can do what your heart told you to do. Then you can do what your heart told. Then you could trust your heart. Then you're able to trust your heart. Because your heart wants a certain pleasure. Your heart is aching for a certain enjoyment. So you want a good taste, and you're aching for that taste, stay there. Be mavara. How does it affect other people? And how does it ultimately affect, how does it affect the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Meaning, how does it affect you in this world? How does it affect other Jews in this world? And ultimately, how does it affect you and everybody else, l'ol me'ad? L'chein tzarech odom levaris atzmo b'shloisha biruim neged Hashem Yisbarach v'neged Klai Yisrael v'neged atzmo. So that's Shabbos, kibud av, and kibud eim. That Shabbos, honoring the father and honoring the mother. That's the order of the Aseres HaDibros. Because that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu was instructing us how to clarify our lives. That's the order. Neged Hashem Yisbarach, kibud av, and kibud eim. Rak ba'aseres ha'dibros, haynu ba'scholos kabbalos ol Torah. See, what's the difference between the parasha of the Ten Commandments and the parasha here in Vayikra and Kedoshim? Because the Ten Commandments, aseres ha'dibros, is when a Jew first starts accepting the Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to speak to us as his people for the first time, with mitzvahs, right? The aseres ha'dibros is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed us for the first time. So when he came to us the first time to accept the Torah, he says, "Sha'adim mekabelov kishayir tzelasas devar hanot sarach levar bira harishon neged Hashem Yisbarach." When you're beginning, you have to first ask yourself, "Well, is this against Hashem?" V'chakach neged Klai Yisrael, v'chakach neged Atzmo. Why does it have to be that order when you're just starting? Why does it have to be that order when you're starting? It's poshut. Why does it have to be that order? The highest priority. Number one. Number two. When you're just starting, your yetzahar is very strong. So if you're going to ask yourself, well, if you begin with yourself, how do I like this? And you have a big Yetzirah, you're just starting to serve God, and your first question is, what about me? And the answer is going to be, seems okay. And then after that, everything else is fine. In other words, your Yetzirah at the beginning is so strong, therefore, when Hashem gave us the Torah, he says to us, listen, Kindleach, this is how you have to think things over. First, me. Hashem says, me. No chachmas. Then there's kibud av. Other people. And then, now ask yourself, how about yourself? Beside them. That's Aseres HaDibros. L'chein nichtav sham t'chilo mitzvah shmir Shabbos v'chakach kibud av v'chakach kibud eim. That's the order. Shabbos, father, mother. V'aparsha has those over here, meaning in Parsha Kedoshim, which is speaking about a person who's already accepted Torah mitzvahs and is living in the realm of holiness, a person who's living in the world of Kedusha. So the Ishbitzer says, "V'aparashas v'esmedaber ba'adam kodesh shalibo mezukach v'nimshachach v'tzayin Hashem Yisbarach." We're talking about a person who has purified and clarified himself, where he's drawn after the will of Hashem, like a magnet. He's worked so hard on himself that he has a natural instinct for Hashem's will. In other words, he's been mevar himself so much. The question is as follows. You and I, when we begin to accept Hashem's mitzvahs, we can't trust our own taste buds. We can't trust our own hearts. Because we're so filled with craziness, how can you trust what your heart is telling you? So you better ask your heart, what does Hashem say? What do other people say? And then how do you think about yourself? That's the beginning. But for a Jew who's gone through that, and a Jew who's lived in unbelievable devotion, with Kedusha B'Tahara, and he comes to this place now of Kedoshim Tiyu, a person who in every moment of his life has clarified all levels, and he feels naturally what is the will of Hashem. He feels naturally. It's like when you go to a tzaddik, a kaddish, you ask him, should I do this, Rebbe, should I do that? And he understands because it's so clear to him, the Ratzon Hashem. And he knows therefore what's good for you, and what's good for all Jews. So when a person's already meets the madrig of this clarification, shalibo mezukach v'nimshachach v'tzayin Hashem Yisbarach shaliyitzu b'shum dover lasas negu v'tzayin Hashem Yisbarach v'chol ma sheyovo b'dayta lasas urak mitzayin Hashem Yisbarach sheyishpia lo yilodom kodesh. Therefore this person's thoughts are he automatically thinks what the Ratzon Hashem is. V'lo'odom kodesh k'sheyovo b'dayta lasas eze dover ab sheyiru la'ayin ki u neged haklal lo yistarach lashgiach al zeh. This person who's a kodosh, who's reached a madrega of kedusha, and something strikes him in his heart as being good, so he doesn't have to worry. Maybe this is bad for other people. Ki hu ikar v'yesod l'kol Yisrael, v'chol ha'klolim heman negdo b'frat, k'maymer ha'gemara kol oylem lo nivarak l'tzavas l'zeh l'fi yishu hu ikar, v'chol oylem heman negdo k'levushim l'odem etavosi yitoyvas ha'klal, v'oymek, because the tzaddik's on such a level where whatever is good for him, in other words, whatever the tzaddik enjoys, it must be it's good for other Jews and for Hashem. Whatever the tzaddik enjoys is good for himself, it's good for other Jews, and it's good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af ki la'ein ha'inoshi nir la'hepach. Even though sometimes it seems the opposite. Right? So Korach, people have tainus against Moshe Rabbeinu. So, whoa, that's not good what you're doing is not fair. Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer at a point where he has to weigh and measure, is this something which is connected other people? It's naturally lined up with the ritzon of other people. Even though other people say, no, it's not good for us. The tzaddik says, it'll be good for you. I know it'll be good. V'hu gam ritzon Hashem Yisbarach. V'yidezeh nichtav kan ha'seder t'chila. Aim. V'chakach av, v'chakach Shabbos. That's why in this parsha of Kedoshim to you, when you reach a level of Kedusha, first it comes Ish Imo, mother. It was the tzaddik first, the tzaddik has to ask himself, do I like this? That's the mother, right? Oh. Then Mistama, if I enjoy it, I don't have to worry that what? It's good for other Yidden also. And it's also good for the Baruch Shalom. In other words, his instinctive gut reaction, which is called aim, mother, the gut reaction of what I like right now, ish imoy v'aviv tiro v'shep soysay tishmaru, that the tzaddik, if he honors his mother, he doesn't have to worry. If his mother, in other words, if something appeals to him instinctively, aviv and Shabbos is fine.
Here we're talking about something that's reshus, the davar hamutar lacha. And we don't want to be davar reshus haTorah, according to the Ramban. So therefore, if I myself find it something that's unappealing, then I should reject it on that ground, and I shouldn't even go to the next ground.
Right.
Because my tastes are already refined.
Right, right.
Now, if I get past that, then there's something wrong with me. But at least I should reject it because of
right.
what my father said
right.
about others.
Right, right.
And if I get past that, what would I should
do? Even my father would approve, yeah. but Hashem might not. That's fantastic. I mean, that's another... It's based upon this idea, and it's another way of... It's a fantastic shot. But you see, that's... In other words, the Seder HaDvar moving from one owns refined taste... Parash Kedoshim is already... Parash Kedoshim is addressing a person with a refined taste. That's what we're... And Parash's Yisro is addressing the beginner, whose tastes are not at all refined. That's a very good way of putting it. I think that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, Rav Kook's, considered by most to be Rav Kook's greatest student. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, when he speaks about the madrega of the Jewish people, that's called Naaseh V'Nishma. There's such a madrega that's called Naaseh V'Nishma. In other words, he said that at the time of Har Sinai, at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, for that brief moment, it's a little different than here, but for that moment when there was complete clarity, when everything was clear, we didn't have to first weigh and measure every single thought that we had. When a person is on the highest level and everything is clear, he could trust his gut reaction. Naaseh. Naaseh means, I'll do it. I'll do it, because I know it's okay. It can't be wrong. Naaseh. That's a madrega of tzaddik. Naaseh. And v'nishma means that, okay, look, we can talk about it later on. But naaseh means that my gut reaction is that this is something which is, this is right. And v'nishma can mean, and we will hear later on how what I did was right. Even though right now it might not seem right. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap says that in Golus, now that we're in Golus, we've fallen away from that completely. And every Jewish person, he says now, can't trust himself. Anytime we feel like doing something, we have to first, it's like it says in the Gemara, Ibaritem Naaseh. Remember what it says by the sin of the golden calf, the Chet Egel. Chazal say, listen, you already lost the Naaseh, at least hold on to the Nishma. And as you lost the level of let us do, at least hold on to the level of let us hear. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says the meaning of that is that right now in Golus, we can no longer trust our instincts. We're so far from clarity, we're so far from Kedusha, that we can't trust our instinctive desires. That means we've lost that Naaseh, let us just do it. We've lost that. If we say that, it'll come out all wrong. Well, I feel like doing this. It'll be wrong, 99.9% of the time will be wrong, I just feel like doing this. So Chazal said, listen, you already blew it. We don't have any more than Naaseh. But at least hold on to the Nishma. Nishma means try to find out and to hear. In this way that we're learning, in the way of the associative, try to find out and hear what is the Ratzon Hashem. Because Naaseh, we can't trust our instincts anymore. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says that Halavai will soon come the days of Mashiach, and once again the Jewish people will be so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world will be so clear, and evil will be so removed from our lives, that once again, every Jewish person will be able to, when he feels something inside of his heart, he'll know instinctively, Naaseh. This happens to me. Each week I have different students of mine, and I'll have a boy and girl that are going out. I just had a call like this afternoon. So there was this boy and a girl were going out, and every time I get a call, the girl say, "How do I know? How do I know that this is? Do you like him? Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, you want to marry him? I don't know. I mean, how do I know?" So if you ask the person, "Well, what do you feel?" "What I feel? I felt 1,000 times before, and I made 1,000 mistakes. I can't trust my feelings." That's the saddest thing. That's Golus. That's a byproduct of Golus, that we can't trust our feelings. The Ishbitz is saying is that there's a madrega of Kedusha where everything that you feel is the truth. What you instinctively want is what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. Right now, we're not in that madrega. We lost the Naaseh.
we're on a level of nishma. And nishma means, let me listen to the Rotzon Hashem. Let me listen to what my father's telling me, whether in the end, even though this might hurt me now, you know, I have to worry, how's this going to, ultimately, lamaisa, how's this going to affect me? And I have to listen then, and I have to listen also to my mother, like right now, is this something which I should undertake? All three dargas, all three madregas, that we have to be mevara now, and only when a person is mevara, when he clarifies these things, these issues, can he come to a madrega where the truth is clear to him, where he knows what to do, whether he can, when he can trust that what he wanted to do was the right thing to do. But if you have a feeling to do something, and you haven't put it through this system of birurim, so this just says there's no way in the world to know. There's no way to know. You don't know. You can't trust. You can't trust yourself. Even if it looks like it's good and it looks like it's 100%, there's no way to know. And he says that as we get closer, what is the meaning that it says in the Gemara? It says in the Gemara that in the days of Mashiach, before Mashiach, there'll be tremendous chutzpah in the world. There'll be tremendous chutzpah. What's the chutzpah? Chutzpah, I think, means, based upon what the Yishmach is teaching us, chutzpah means that there's more of a desire to trust oneself, which is a healthy thing. It's a sign of Mashiach coming. We have this little feeling that Mashiach's on the way, therefore there's more of an instinctive desire to trust ourselves, and we're sort of shedding a little bit of that weakness of Golus, which was holy. It is a holy thing to always to check 1,000 times and to find out. That's good. But when we're approaching the days of Mashiach, so there's a chutzpah that we're trusting ourselves. Now the way that can come out is in a disgusting way. It's a disgusting way. The Prime Minister in Eretz Yisrael doesn't care what anybody else says. He is certain. He is certain that this is the derech. It doesn't make a difference if everybody screams and cries. It doesn't make a difference if Nebuchadnezzar's buses are getting blown up. As long as he trusts his instincts, and he doesn't have to even explain. He doesn't have to explain the chutzpah. Doesn't need any birurim. Doesn't have to explain. Kach ritzoini. Kach olabi ritzoini. This is my ratzon. Even though that's a crazy, disgusting thing, but as we get closer to Mashiach, there is more of a yearning for self-esteem and self-respect, and that's why the whole world bechlal is interested now in self-respect and self-esteem. The world is climbing out of that feeling of godless that we can't ever trust ourselves, and is moving more towards self-respect and self-esteem, and that's a healthy thing, as long as done together with tzaddik and with gedolim. If it's done on one's own, then we see what happens to churban. But if it's together with tzaddikim and we train our children in a healthy, good way to trust their instincts, and they're connected to Torah, and they're connected to tzaddikim, then it can come out to be the most wonderful thing in the world. We should be zarchim to Hashem to come to Madrega, that should be taka nasa and nishma once again, that should be with that clarity and the behirus. Should be zarchim to Hashem for Mashiach, mehem yamin amen.